Night. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Looks like we're verses 12 through 17 tonight. The rain is always so loud on this metal roof. There's been times when we're in here and it was almost drowning out the worship. And the preacher was just going. Some people said that was the best sermon I ever preached. I think it was Kim who said that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. Paul's ministering to this church that through the Holy Spirit, he was able to plant and birth, and they're his spiritual children. He loves them. He's committed to seeing them grow, to keep them safe, and so he's willing to do whatever he has to do. When you love something, you're willing to do whatever you have to do to keep it safe. Amen? If you love your marriage, you protect it. If you love your children, you protect them. And Paul had that heart for the body of Christ, and so should we. That we protect what's sacred, what's holy, what's precious, and that's our position with Christ and being his children, and then our position in the body of Christ being brothers and sisters, amen? So he's laboring hard here, and he's preaching and teaching and saying what he has to say. Let me read verses 12 through 17, and he's going to try to provoke the Corinthians to have an accurate perception of themselves. Say self-perception. That can be a problem for some of us at certain times. Listen to the text. For we do not presume to rank or to compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they have no understanding. Now, that was more than just a tongue twister. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Verse 13 says, but we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the domain which God has assigned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. For we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach you, for we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ. Not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in other people's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our domain enlarged even more by you, so as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the domain of another. But the one who boasts is to boast in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself that is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. And we stop right there, and there's so much in there for us to enjoy and unpack. These next seven verses here are trying to provoke us to have a right perspective about ourselves, and then it brings in the concept of boasting, and we're going to look at that in detail. It's always sad and even sometimes embarrassing when someone's pride deceives them into thinking that they're more than they are. When someone who puffs himself up and brags and tries to, you know, accentuate all their achievements or, you know, kind of enlarge their strengths and hide their weaknesses. Have you ever seen someone like that? And all of a sudden they'll launch into a, you know, some kind of self-aggrandizing tirade, and it's embarrassing to listen. Because the truth is, they're the only ones who believes it, and they don't really believe it that much because they're trying so hard to make you believe it. And kind of, we see people like that. Hopefully, we're not like that. Maybe there were times in our life where we were insecure and we tried really hard to puff ourselves up or to hide our weaknesses. But it's really embarrassing when pride gets a hold of us. Why? Because we deceive ourselves into thinking we're more than we are. And that's what Paul is zeroing in here. He doesn't want the Corinthians to think more of themselves than they are. When people brag about things that they never did or accomplishments they never had, we've all met people like that. You know, they brag about things and you're listening to them and they're like, that's not true. I think I saw that in a movie one time. You know, like, that wasn't a comic book. You just got, no, it wasn't a cartoon. No, you know, and they're puffing themselves up, and they brag about accomplishments that they didn't accomplish and achievements that they didn't achieve. And everybody, you know, sees that they're full of themselves, and they don't think much of a person like that. As Christians, we should never be that person that the world looks at us and think, man, are they full of pride? Are they full of themselves? Are they all about puffing up their own achievements? You know, we see this in washed up athletes who embellish their past athletic accomplishments, or politicians who lie about their military service. I can't tell you how many times I've seen, you know, politicians who claimed, you know, I was in Vietnam, I was in combat, only to find out they were stateside and they were a cook. And I can mention some names. They're actually still sitting in Congress now, but they've been, you know, they've been uncovered for stolen valor. What's that all about? That's trying to pad the resume, puff themselves up, think more of themselves than they should. And, you know, there's a lot of people who do that in academia. They get caught, and they puff up their resume. And, oh, I graduated from this, and I graduated top of my class, and I was number one, and you were one from the bottom. I'm not mentioning any names, but this is current stuff that I'm referencing here. Romans 12:3 says this: "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith." You know, I want you to zero in on that word soberly. Could you guys turn this mic down a little bit? Because I want to get louder, and I'm starting to scare myself right now. Okay, that word soberly is important. Why? Because the person who puffs themselves up is deceived, and they're almost drunk with themselves, as it were. And they're not sober in their thinking. Why? Because they're not thinking clearly, and they're not right, and they're over embellishing, and it's embarrassing. And, you know, Paul says in Romans, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Think soberly. According to what? As God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. That's what is worth celebrating in our lives, is our faith. Is our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? It's our love for one another, amen? Not I did this and I did that and I built this and I'm number one and look at me. That's ugly in the world, but it's especially ugly in the body of Christ. So verse 12 jumps right into the issue by calling out the way people think more of themselves. And, you know, they arrive at foolish conclusions about themselves. Look what it says here in verse 12. "For we do not presume," listen, "to rank or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves." And I want you to zero in on to those words, rank and compare. Who? Ourselves with what? Those who commend themselves. So Paul says, he doesn't do this, and by implication, we shouldn't do this. We shouldn't rank or compare ourselves with other people. We shouldn't rank or compare ourselves with each other. Well, where are you in the pecking order at the Full Gospel Center? We're all sinners saved by grace, humble servants of the Lord, amen. And the higher you go up in the responsibility of spiritual authority, the more you have to serve. The more humble you have to become. Do you know the least humble person in the body of Christ is the person who just got saved? Because they haven't been stripped yet. And they're still in the honeymoon phase and they're thinking, "Woo, I'm a child of God. I'm all that in a bag of chips." No. When you begin to see that, hey man, I'm poor and blind and wretched and naked. And without him, I can do nothing. Amen. Look, I've been walking with the Lord since I'm 14 years old, and you know what? I need him more now today than I did when I first met him. I need his grace in my life, amen? You would think, well, when are you going to get it together? I'm not. The closer I get to him, the more I see, woe is me, I'm undone. Wow. You know, when you're in the dark and your clothes are dirty, you don't notice it. But when you come into the light, you see your own shabbiness. Some of us need to get in the light, because sometimes we get too big for our britches and we think more of ourselves than we ought. I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody, just at me. So he jumps in and he says, you know, people arrive at foolish conclusions when they rank and compare themselves and commend themselves. And, you know, this whole ranking and comparison thing is a dangerous thing. And here's why. Because we're deceived when we do that. Here's why. Because we rank and compare ourselves by selective comparison. If you're taking notes tonight, and I encourage you to, this is good stuff. You want to chew on it, meditate on it later. But when we rank ourselves against other people that are around us, what we do is we do that by selective comparison. And here's what I mean. We don't find the person who's way better than us and compare ourselves to that person. We find the lowest common denominator, measure ourselves up against them, and judge that we're doing pretty good. Selective comparison is a dangerous thing. Why? Because it will deceive us every time. Paul doesn't want us to rank and compare ourselves with other people. It's a fool's errand. Why? Because we will always select a group or a person to compare ourselves with so that we get the right result and the results will be skewed. Are you following me tonight? Here's how it works. If I'm not that smart, I just find dumber people. Right? If I'm chubby, I get fatter friends. Some of you need a smile. I know it's Wednesday, but right? And people do this stuff. You know, the guy in the gym that's not that big, well, he hangs out with the skinny guys. You see, we default to the lowest common denominator. Why? So by selective comparison, we turn out looking really good. This is human nature. Don't say, I don't do it. Yes, you do. Get a picture and look at your friends. Paul says not to commend ourselves. And you know, by that thinking is that we find the lowest common denominator, we compare and we contrast, and then we say, well, I'm pretty good. I'm number one in the group here, so, you know, I can commend myself. Bad idea, dangerous thing, a fool's errand. The second half of verse 12 bluntly says that when we measure or compare in this way, we will deceive ourselves and come to false conclusions about ourselves. And then we're back to my introduction. The person who's deceived into thinking they're more than they ought is embarrassing, and they're only one that believes their own press. But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they have no understanding. I want you to zero in on that phrase, they have no understanding. That's a really eloquent way of saying you're being stupid. You know, that sounds nice. Well, you know, you have no understanding. That's not a compliment. So when you do this, you compare and you know, themselves by themselves, you have no understanding. Basically, Paul is saying this in verse 12. Hey, Corinthians! Hey, Pastor Rick, hey, believers at Full Gospel Center, don't deceive yourself through selective comparison and think more highly of yourself than you should, because it will make you a fool and put you in spiritual jeopardy. We need, if we're going to compare ourselves, if we're going to rank ourselves, we need to do it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that the Holy Spirit's conforming to us in that image. That's the goal. That's the finish line, amen, when I look like Jesus. And in comparison to him and in rank to him, I am in need of much growth. Amen. So he's making a powerful point here to him who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the church. Because many people are not humble enough to take the principles that we just unpacked and apply them to our lives. We would rather, you know, feel good about ourselves and surround ourselves with people that make us feel good about ourselves. If you want to be good at anything, get around people that are better than you. If you want to be, when I was a young kid learning how to play guitar, I got around all the best musicians I could find, and I watched and I listened and I played until I got better than them. Then I found another group, and I just kept doing that. I never wanted to be around people that couldn't teach me anything or couldn't inspire me. It's the same thing with being a Christian. We have got to always, you know, get around people who will provoke us to grow spiritually. If you don't have people in your life like that, you need to pray that God brings some of them there, amen? In the last five verses of the text we're going to cover tonight, boasting is mentioned five times. So What does that word mean here in this context? Well, the Greek word that's translated boasting here means glorifying, exalting, and literally living with your head up high. Boasting means living with your head up high. Have you ever seen a proud person that walks with their nose in the air? You know, they look down on others. Come on. That's the implication of the word here in the Greek, living with your head up high. So when the text says boasting, it's saying you're glorifying in something, you're exalting something, and you're literally living with your head up high about something. Now, boasting can be either bad or good depending on what you're boasting on. If you're boasting in the flesh, if you're boasting about your own achievements, if you're boasting to get your own accolades, boasting is not good. But if you are boasting in the Lord and in the work of the Holy Spirit and what God's doing in the kingdom, that's a good boast, amen? So boasting is a neutral. It's not good and it's not bad, but it's what we're boasting in. Verse 13 is basically the apostle saying that none of us should allow ourselves to get too big for our britches. Glorifying, exalting, living with our heads up high, what? Beyond measure is a sure sign of spiritual immaturity. The person who brags even about spiritual things, about their accomplishments, their stations in life, that's a sign of not only insecurity, but spiritual immaturity. You know, I've been around other ministers, I've been around other Christians and heard them brag about what a great, you know, service they had, or what a great church they built, or what a great missions trip. I was around one guy one time, I'll never forget. I feel bad because I like the guy, but he was bragging about what he did on the mission field, and you would have thought this guy was Jesus Jr. by the time he was done. I mean, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he preached better than Billy Graham, and I'm just listening to him like, you're the same guy standing in front of me now? And it was braggadocious, and it was embarrassing. But it was the byproduct of being, you know, selective comparison and just, you know, living with your head up high about things that he was taking credit for that the Holy Spirit did. So we can't get too big for our proverbial britches. That's a bad thing. It's a sign of insecurity and spiritual immaturity when we walk around with our heads up high. Why? You know, bragging about things that we didn't do or things that the Holy Spirit did. Why? Because that smacks of pride and self-satisfaction, and that's a dangerous thing. Pride is something that all of us have to guard against, and all of us have to be careful. When I see good things happening in the kingdom, when I see church growth, when I see us baptizing a whole bunch of people, it drives me to my knees to just chase humility. Because I know there's opportunities when things are going well for us to get a little bit swollen up, and then guess what? God will strip us just as quick. So if anything good is happening in your life, if anything good is happening in the ministry, let's remember to stay humble. Beyond measure, I like that, living with our heads up high. Verse 14 and 15, Paul gives a humble, accurate evaluation of what the Lord had accomplished through his ministry. Now, Paul is not, you know, puffing himself up or patting himself on the back. He's really just giving an accurate account of what the Lord has done through him in the ministry, and he's not taking the credit for it in a way, but he's just reporting. Listen to verse 14 and 15. We are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you, for we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel. So Paul's saying, you know, you're our spiritual offspring. God, through the Holy Spirit, allowed us to share the gospel with you. You guys got saved. You became a church. We planted a church here. It's grown. The Holy Spirit's using you. You're growing up into spiritual maturity. And Paul's kind of rejoicing in that. He's not bragging, per se, in a way to puff himself up, but he's reporting what the Lord done. Listen to verse 15. Not boasting beyond our measure, that is in other people's labors, but with the hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our domain enlarged even more by you. So Paul saw the seeds that he planted that have grown in the lives of the Corinthians. As they grow and they multiply, he saw that as a blessing that came back on him because their increase was his increase. Someone say amen. Amen. Let's take a look at this here. Verse 14 is not an inflated view. He says we're not overextending, we're not boasting beyond measure. So this is just an accurate account. Paul preached the gospel, made converts, planted a church, and it has borne fruit. 15 shines the light on a dishonest practice. And this is the practice of taking credit for other people's work and when you didn't do it. And listen to this again. Not boasting beyond our measure, that is in other people's labors. Okay, so here's the bad habit here. Here's the principle. There are many people who take credit for what other people do as if it was their own accomplishment. Come on, anybody have a boss? You have a manager, and the department's working hard, and you're doing the work of five people, and your manager's just lucky to have you as an employee, and then when their boss comes in, they take all the credit for all your hard work. Some people started to cry when I said that. Didn't mean to touch a nerve, but this is human nature. People have a tendency to do that, to take credit themselves for things they never did. Unfortunately, this happens in the kingdom of God too. And you know, people like this are what I call glory hogs. They suck up. They're like the Hoover vacuum in the spiritual realm. They just suck up all the accomplishments, all the compliments, all the accolades, all the ego food. They take all the glory. It's all about them. And they just discredit all the people around them that help them get to where they are. It's a bad habit. Paul's saying, you know, it's something that we shouldn't do. Take credit for other people's work. Paul realized there were other apostles. He wasn't Peter. He wasn't James. He wasn't John. There were other co-laborers that were with him. It wasn't all about Paul. Paul wasn't the only one bearing fruit. Although God was using him mightily, it's because he was willing to stay humble. You know, people who are glory hogs, They got to suck up all the credit, and they can't stand when other people, you know, get compliments or accolades or you know, just when other, they don't want to share it with anybody. Now, we might think, well, that's in the world, but it's in the kingdom too. And that's why Paul's covering it, and that's why I'm covering it tonight. They purposely ignore what others have done because it takes the focus off of them. Come on, have you met people like that? There's part of me that hopes you haven't met people like that. Joey, turn this up a little bit now. Now my voice is fading. But, you know, I wish that we didn't know people like that, because it's really a sad thing to see people who just have to suck up all the air out of the room, and it's got to be all about them. Now, in ministry, this can be an intoxicant here. Why? Because when God blesses a ministry like he blessed Paul's ministry, I mean, Paul was having incredible success with the Gentiles. Conversions all over the place. His missions trips, though they were hard and dangerous, they were profitable. Why? Because people are getting saved all around him, and churches are getting planted everywhere. Now, in ministry or in our own personal lives, we can be tempted to pick up the glory that belongs to the Lord, or to take credit for accomplishments that are not ours. Now, I've been a full-time pastor in ministry for over 30 years. I got saved at this church, some of you were here, when I was 14 years old. It's pretty cool, right? And I just can't escape this place, but I'm still here. And I say that to say this, because, you know, I got saved here, but also, you know, I was called into ministry here. I became a youth pastor, an assistant pastor. I led worship. I did child's ministry. I did men's ministry. I did singles ministry. I did all those things. But, you know, even though I've been able to serve here for 30 years, I also got saved here. I was also called here. I grew up under the leadership of other pastors. I had many youth pastors that poured into my life. I had teachers at Bible school who poured into my life. You know, I had worship leaders that inspired me, godly men and women who labored to get me in the condition I am today. And I say that to say this: if I walk around like, look what I've done, look at the church that I built, look at the ministry I have, ugh, that's disgusting. We can't take the credit. I can't take the credit for all that. All the people that tolerated me, that labored over me, that worked with me when I was a young, you know, inexperienced. I can make a lot of adjectives here. I'm going to stop. But, you know, I mean, it's never all us. Because we're part of the body, we're part of a team. So nobody can walk around and taking all the credit for everything. If I were to say that, now I hear pastors, oh, my church, my ministry, I built a powerful church. And I'm just like, oh, man. It's just, come on. That'll put a lid over your life. Be humble. Give credit where credit is due. Honor those who deserve honor. Don't be a glory hog. Don't be a self-promoter. Don't take credit for things that you didn't do. In your personal life, in your ministry, on your job. Verse 16 suggests if we're the ones willing to do the hard work in an area, there's a bit more room to get excited about the advancing of the kingdom of God. Now look what Paul says here. He didn't go and labor in areas where other people had labored. No, he's in fresh territory. He was the first one to go to these regions. He was the first one to go to the Gentiles. And he makes a little point here. He says, so as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast, there it is, not to walk around with my head up high, in what has been accomplished in the domain of another. So, you know, he's basically saying, nobody came here before us. We were able to come here. God used us. And the fruit of this, you know, what God's done here is to our credit, and it's something that we can rejoice in together. Now, let me just say this. If you are willing to do the hard work in any situation in life, you're entitled to a little bit more of the credit than usual. Amen? God doesn't withhold blessing. He doesn't withhold credit. He doesn't withhold things from those who labor hard and are obedient to their calling. Come on. God doesn't share his glory with anybody, but he's also not one of these people that doesn't give honor where honor is due. When you and I fulfill the call of God in our life and do what we're supposed to do, God honors us. God blesses us. Look, if you've been obedient to God and you've labored and you've fulfilled the call of God on your life and you're blessed, don't apologize for it. Don't be ashamed of it, amen? Well, everything just goes good for me and I'm a little embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. That's the goodness of God. That's the grace of God. And see, there's a balance here. We can be humble and rejoice in the goodness of God, but God is not withholding things from us as if, you know, he's the hog and he has to, it's all me, it's none of you, you're all wretched, blind and naked and, you know. No, God wants to bless us. It's a good thing. And let me just say, you know, there are those who minister in hard places in the world. There are still regions in the world today that are in spiritual drought, where the gospel has still not taken root because of false religion, because of sin and idolatry, because of satanic strongholds. There are places that you can go to do ministry that the ministry is very hard. And let me say this, ministry in America is relatively easy compared to anywhere else in the world. You know, I got called to be a pastor in New York, and, you know, while there are some hardships here and there are some things to wrestle with, this is easy compared to some people's calling. You know, just to be in the church in America and be behind the pulpit where, you know, it's comfortable and it's safe to preach and we're really not worried about anybody, you know, breaking in and hauling us to jail. Try ministering in a Muslim-majority country. Try doing ministry in China, where the church is underground. Try ministering in India, where they routinely kill missionaries. Try ministry in Burma or sub-Saharan Africa. That's not easy. That's hard ground. And listen to me. Those who are called to do ministry in those areas, to me, those are like the Navy SEALs of the kingdom of God. To me, that's a high calling. Some people look at missionaries and go, they're just, when they come to church, they're boring and they don't preach good and stuff. And like when we, in Bible school, when it was like missionary week and all the missionaries would come in, a lot of times we didn't understand what these people sacrificed and what they went through. And we just, you know, we weren't excited about it. But to me, that's the toughest call. What we got to do here is easy. You could share the gospel with anyone you want tomorrow. You're not going to get arrested. You're not going to go to jail. No one's going to beat you up and drag you away. Oh, it's getting quieter and quieter. You're like, oh, I wish this sermon would be over. Almost. So realize, Paul was in some hard areas, doing some hard ministry, and, you know, he was enjoying some of the fruit of that and rejoicing in the fact that the kingdom was spreading. So when you do the hard work, you're entitled to some of the credit and some of the satisfaction from it. Verse 17 and 18 wrap up the topic with these two principles. Listen to 17 and 18. But the one who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself that is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. So here's the two principles Paul wraps up this topic with. Number one, there's only one safe thing to brag about, and that's the Lord. If we're going to walk around with our head up high, if we're going to exalt anything, if we're going to glory in anything, let us glory in the Lord. Because it's really the only thing to safely boast in, to boast in the Lord. But the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. If we must glory, if we must exalt, if we must lift our heads up high and rejoice about anything, it should be in what the Lord has done. Amen. That we could look and say, look what the Lord has done. Look what he's done in my life. Look what he's done in my relationships. Look what he's done in my children. Amen. So if we're going to boast, if you have, you know, this tendency to brag on the Lord and boast about the good things he's done in your life. All other bragging, not really safe. In fact, usually even when we try to behave and stay humble, if we start, you know, tooting our own horn, we're going to start playing our own song. And it's a dangerous thing. The second principle is this. In the end, all our approval, all our promotion, all our satisfaction, and all the glory we'll enjoy is, you know, it comes from the Lord. Look what it says. For it is not the one who commends himself that is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Understand this. Your reward comes from the Lord. What you're going to enjoy for eternity, your rewards in heaven, your station in the kingdom of God, the crown that you can throw at Jesus' feet, the works that you have to show for your life, all of that is coming from the Lord. It doesn't matter if we go to heaven and we say, Lord, everybody thought, you know, I was a terrific guy and a great pastor, and my mom said I was handsome, and, you know, that's not what's going to matter in heaven. It's going to matter what Jesus thinks about what we did with the gifts he gave us, with the opportunities he gave us, with the call that he gave us. Come on. This is all that matters. You know, don't be self-satisfied with the fact that everybody likes you or you're happy with your own. Listen, you and I, we have to please the Lord. What good is it if I get to heaven and think, man, I did a good job, right, Jesus? And he's like, no. You didn't do what I told you. You did something else. And you built yourself a kingdom of sandcastles, and now it's all just going to get blown away. And there's no reward in it. It was wood, hay, and stubble. Let's be careful not to be building wood, hay, and stubble. Amen? But in all our boasting, we boast in the Lord because he's the one who determines our reward. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that are sad. There's going to be a lot of tears that God has to wipe away. He says he's going to wipe away all our tears. Why are there going to be tears? Because we're going to see what we could have done, what we could have been, who we could have reached if we would have took the kingdom of God more serious than the kingdom of what we're building. So our rewards come from the Lord. If we're going to boast, we boast on the Lord. All other boasting is a little bit sketchy. So get your nose out of the air. Get your head down and be humble, amen. I don't know about you. When I look at my life, there's not much room to put my nose in the air if I'm really getting real before God. But there's a lot of room to put my head down and put my tail between my legs because I stand completely by grace and mercy, amen. Amen. But the one who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself or selectively compares themselves or measure themselves against people who they know are less than them to get a skewed result. It's the one who is approved by the Lord, and the Lord is our reward. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, I just thank you for this text. I thank you for this book as we're working our way through it tonight. I pray, Lord God, that these principles and these truths would stick with us, Lord, long after they have been spoken and they've rung in our spirit for a little while. Lord, let us remember these principles and these things, to realize we're not to boast in anything but you, Lord, and we're not to be puffed up and so impressed about ourselves. But Lord, help us to stay humble. Help us, Lord, not to engage in deception, to think more of ourselves than we ought, to engage in selective comparison so that we feel good about ourselves. But let us be real before you.